Do you know what? There's times when we can seem strong when we're really weak. I'm telling you the truth here. There's times when we can seem like we've got it all together when actually we're going through things. If we can just take on board some Bible principles and work out how do I apply this in my life. Just shut your eyes and lift up your hands and just say, Heavenly Father, have your way in my life. Speak to my heart so that I can fulfill my God-given destiny. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please take your seats. You know, one of the things I love is when you see the plan and purpose of the Lord being woven together through the service. And one thing that I've just heard referenced by Jess, by Chris, by my husband, is just this sense of purpose and our need to fulfill our purpose. And, you know, it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, let us run our race with endurance. Say out loud, I've got a race. I'll run my race. And I'll finish my race. And I'll make my God proud. And then give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I think if you've been listening, something I mentioned at the half night. Wow, how many of you were at the half night of prayer? Oh my goodness, the presence of God. I felt like that was, oh my goodness. I don't know about anyone else, but it felt like God showed up at our half night on Friday in a way that, like, whoa. I don't know if anyone, oh my goodness, extraordinary. But one of the things I shared at the start of that was that if you've been listening to a lot of apostolic and prophetic people around the world, one of the common themes we hear is that time is short. How many of you have picked up on that just out there from, time is short. In other words, you know, if you hadn't been aware before that we were in end times, if we were in a strategic moment in history, then you're probably aware of it now. How many of you are aware of that? Wave at me. Absolutely. And so it's more important than ever that we do what we need to do in order to be positioned for what God has in store. And for the month of June, some of you know that I have a mentoring network and what a joy it is, and some of you in Harvest are part of that. But in the month of June, we've been focused on growing into your purpose. And in the final session of June, as I was really praying and I was like, God, show me, you know, because I really pray over this. And I was really asking the Lord, Father, show me the things we need in order to fulfill our purpose. Show me how I can understand all that. And the first few are about really growing into it, understanding it, preparation. But the final session that God put on my heart is to do with determination. And so I was asking God, you know, what does determination look like? Because one thing I know God's called me to be is very practical and very simple. I remember when the first time I ever heard my husband preach 26 and a half years ago, I remember listening to this amazing, inspirational, prophetic message. And afterwards, as he was driving me back to my house, I said, what on earth was that about? Like, please will you explain? It was like Abraham and Eleazar and the bride. And I'm like, which one am I? And It was so prophetic, I really didn't understand a word of it. And I knew it was amazing. There were some people in the room going, wow. And I'm going, whoa. Like, my goodness. And so I used to have to really ask him to explain. I would be like one of the disciples around Jesus going, please, can you tell me what on earth you meant? Because I know there's something I need to grasp. And one of the things God called me to be is very simple. And God has a very profound anointing on my husband. And God's called me to be very simple. And so I was saying, God, well, what is determination? And so I was really praying over this and trying to understand it. And I started to see it. And then I was saying, Lord, people often call me determined. You know, we all know the kind of strengths that we've recognized in ourselves for a long time. How many of you know the things, even when you maybe didn't like yourself? You know, even before I liked myself and before I always knew that I was determined. So I was like, well, what is it that makes me determined? And so I was really praying about this. And I identified three key points of determination that the Lord was showing me. And I said, okay, well, the first one, yeah, I'm okay. And the second one, yeah, and I was like, aha, it's the third one. And I suddenly got this revelation on the inside of the importance of the very last element that God showed me of what determination is. And this is what I want to share about today. Because I believe that if you can develop this in your life, do you know what? There's times when we can seem strong when we're really weak. I'm telling you the truth here. There's times when we can seem like we've got it all together when actually we're going through things. If we can just take on board some Bible principles and work out how do I apply this in my life. And so I want to read a scripture, and you know it. And it's in Proverbs 24, verse 16, and it's the first half I'm focusing in on. And it says, a righteous man may fall seven times and arise again. Out loud, turn to your neighbor, say, rise again. In the New Living Translation, it says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Say to your neighbor, get up again. Get up again. You know, I realize this is the thing that God has put on the inside of me. That no matter how many times I fall down, I trip over, I land flat on my face, whether I'm kicked down, blown over, balling over, whatever it is, I will get back up again. Now, this is what I really want us to look at today, because I believe the Lord just gave me a message for you. And bearing in mind, the time is short. You know, every day of our lives counts. Every day, God has a purpose. And so every day we need to be working out, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? And so this word, though the righteous may fall, it's a Hebrew word. And it has three essential definitions. It's a Hebrew word, nepal, and it means to fail. Isn't that interesting? That word, nepal, is more often translated fail than anything else. 75% of the times that word is used in the Old Testament, because it's Hebrew, therefore it's Old Testament, it means fail. So though a righteous man may fail seven times. And the implication, if you ask most Bible studiers, doctrinal people, is that it's talking about in a day. So though the righteous may, number one, fail. Number two, it means cast down. And number three, thrown down. So though a righteous man may fail seven times, what's he going to do? Say it strongly. What's he going to do? Though a righteous man may be cast down seven times, what's he going to do? Though a righteous man may be thrown down seven times, what's he going to do? Right, so I want to look at three different ways that we all probably find ourselves at some point or another flat on our faces. Anyone here never, ever been flat on your face? Put your hand up. Come to the front. Take the mic from me. You understand. Because really, it's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus never, ever, ever failed. And Jesus never, ever, ever will fail. But the rest of us... And so I want to look at three ways that we can end up flat on our faces. One is when we fall down, when we fail. Number two is when circumstances, storms, difficulties throw us down. And thirdly, when we're kicked down. Okay? And we're going to look at those three different ways that we can end up flat on our face. You see, God has called you and I to run a race. And it doesn't say run your race if you're already standing. It doesn't say run your race if nothing goes wrong. It doesn't say run your race if all is well. It doesn't say run your race on the mountaintop. It says run your race. Because before we know it, you know, Abby, sorry, she doesn't mind anymore. It's amazing. The woman who used to be all like self-conscious, just come here a moment, sweetie, because I'm going to make a point that every parent knows. You can take your mask off for a second. Yeah, just for a second. So Abby's 18, you know, and she's in first year of medical school. She's a young lady. You know, I got a message from someone who she'd helped prepare for someone who wants to apply for a job at the school where Abby went. And she like called afterwards going, wow, thank you. How did that happen? Last time I was holding her as a baby in my arms. How did I suddenly have this conversation with this mature, articulate woman? And why am I saying that? You see, it feels like yesterday. Some of you remember Abby as a baby. Some of you remember the day she was born and how Christians across London were praying that she would make it because she was born flat with no signs of life. You know, and 18 years ago has gone like that. And now she's like a sister and a friend as well as a daughter. What's my point? It's a cliche, but it's true. Time goes like that, so you need to run your race. Turn to your neighbor and say, run your race. So, if we fall down, I think for some, each one will be different for different people. Some of these, you might say, oh, I can get back up in that, but not that, right? So we're going to go through each one because we all experience them all. What does the Bible say in Ecclesiastes? I think it's 1:9. There's nothing new under the sun. Right. Nothing new under the sun. In other words, the circumstances of our lives, you know, there's nothing new. So we all fall. And when we're on the floor, the devil is going to use everything possible to keep you down. When you fail, the devil is going to use everything possible to hold you in condemnation. And so we're going to look at why and how we need to oppose the enemy's plans in every season. So, number one, when you fall, when you fail, when you mess up, when you miss it, listen, it was never about you anyway. Let me explain. What does it say in Isaiah 64, verse 6b? This is the Amplified. It says, our righteousness, our best deeds of righteousness and justice is like filthy rags or a polluted garment. You know, when we stand, we never stand in our own righteousness anyway. When we can hold our shoulders up tall and we can pursue our God-given call, we do it because of his righteousness anyway. It was never your righteousness that caused God to say, I'll use you. Yes, we have to be those with a contrite heart. And that's what we use the floor for. When you fall down, the first thing you do is say, sorry, Lord. Sorry, Jesus. And that's what we use the floor for. The floor has a purpose, but we mustn't stay there. Why else? Number one, it was never about you. Number two, he dealt with it. He made a way. Colossians 2 verse 14 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, arguments that were against us. This is the Amplified still. And then it goes on to say, he has taken it out of the way. Did you get that? He removes the arguments. Let me tell you, the devil tries to argue in your ear. No, you've done it again. No, you've messed up too much this time. Look at yourself. Who do you think you are? You haven't got what it takes. Anyone ever heard any of these arguments whispered in your ear? That's what an argument is. An argument is arguing with you, telling you you need to stay on the floor. But Jesus dealt with every argument against your life. He dealt with it. He nailed those arguments to the cross. Listen to what he did. He nailed them. Imagine an argument written on a piece of paper against you right now. How many of you feel some argument? You don't need to put your hand up. But if you feel any argument against you right now, I want you to picture it written out. And then I want you to see that argument being nailed to the cross. And then I want you to see it being wiped out by the hand. Do you see that? It's nailed there, and then he wipes it away. He clears it completely out of our way. It's gone. Once it gets nailed, it's gone. You know what the blood of Jesus does? It's the most powerful substance on earth because it was released here. It's not needed in heaven. The blood of Jesus is here. It's here now for us. And it cleanses. It wipes away. It deals with it. So number one, it was never about you in the first place. Number two, he dealt with it. And number three, this is what I love. Take cover. You might say, what do you mean? Well, we're talking about how we get back up from the ground. Ephesians 6, 14 is about the whole armor of God. And it says, stand therefore. Turn to your neighbor and say, stand up. Get up. Arise. It says, stand therefore, and I'm back in the New King James, and it says, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Cover up, what do I mean? You see, it's if God was counting our own righteousness, who could be able to stand? Who would stand? That's what scripture says. But he says, put on the breastplate of his righteousness. Take up that breastplate. And that isn't like the shield of faith that you have to keep putting up and down. It's something that's strapped to you. Do you get this? Do you know what else it covers? It covers your heart. It covers your heart. You know what? God is saying, if you feel like you've missed it, you've messed up, you've failed, you've fallen, God is saying, stand up, my child. Get up again. Get up again because I have made the way for you. Hallelujah. Stand, therefore. That means when he's saying stand, it suggests that we're starting out not standing. And so it's time to stand because there's a race that only you can run. Hallelujah. You know, I love this. In Philippians 3:12, and this is in the Amplified, Paul the Apostle, because we're in our year of pressing into the blessing. Philippians 3:12 in the Amplified says, not that I have already now attained this ideal, or have already been made perfect. Do you hear it? Paul the Apostle is saying, I haven't got it all together. I'm not there yet, but. Say boldly, but. I press on. You know, you can't press if you're lying down. Have you ever noticed that? You stand, you get the breastplate of righteousness, and then you say, I'm gonna press. I'm gonna press what? To lay hold of that for which Jesus, the Messiah, laid hold of me. Do you remember I said, you've got a race that you need to run. You've got a race. And you know what? We won't have to account for how someone else runs their race. will have to account for how we run our race. You have a race. You have a lane. Don't come out of your lane. Stay in your lane. Run your race. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one. He's the one that you keep your eyes on. He's the one that you stay accountable to. You know, my dear friend, my wonderful friend, you hear me talk about her all the time, Larissa. You know, she reminded me of something the other day. We were chatting. We speak every week. It's wonderful. We have a weekly phone call. And we always speak into one another's lives. And she said something. She said, isn't it amazing? She said, we're all only accountable for our own hearts. I'm accountable for my heart. And each one of us, we will give an account, and that's why it's a bit scary judgment. I've been asking God at some point to help me understand the second judgment better. It does say leaders are going to get a stricter judgment. And I've been asking God, help me understand the second judgment. I'd like to know more about it, Lord. And I'm very simple, so you'll have to unpack it to me very simply, you know. But at the end of the day, I will be, you know, judged on the things that I've done by him. But at the end of the day, right now, he's saying, Joe, your heart. Each one of us has a responsibility to God and take care of and nurture and tend to our own hearts. Because you know what? If your heart condemns you, that's what the Bible talks about, our hearts condemning us. Do you know, we can hear a thought up here, but if it's not our hearts, we can kind of get by. We've got to know how to get ourselves from there back up here. Turn to your neighbor and say, get up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not that I have already attained this ideal, but I press. But I press. So the first one is if you find yourself flat on your face as a result of falling, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hallelujah. Number two, what if you're blown down? And the next two I'm going to spend a little less time on. You know, have you ever noticed that the storms of life come? Some storms are so violent. Have you ever seen someone literally like knocked over by the wind? Have any of you actually been knocked over by the wind? I have once on a mountain when I was a child. And I was like, thank God I wasn't too near the edge. But, you know, storms sometimes have that ability. And I'm just going to quickly read a story we all know well. 1 Samuel 30, or most of you probably know well. 1 Samuel 30, and this is after King David, you know, had been doing what he thought was the right thing to do, went off out to battle, to fight a battle. It didn't happen. Had to turn around. He had all his men with him. They start to head back home, and everything that they knew that was their own was gone. Their city was burnt to the ground. All the people, their families were missing. Everyone was gone. And I'm going to pick it up at 1 Samuel 30, verse 3. And it says, David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. I'm going to jump to verse 4. David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. You know, I thank God that we know how, when we're hurt, to get healed. It is so important that when we've been blown over, knocked over, when things happen in our lives that just are really painful, that we go to the Lord. He gave us this mechanism to get healed. And it says they wept until they had no more power to weep. And then verse 6, now David got greatly distressed. So he's gone from tragedy to them all kind of rising up against him. And it says, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And it says, but, say out loudly, but. You see, he dealt with his pain. And then he said, I've got a race to run. He said, I've got a lane that I need to get in. I've got unfulfilled prophetic words over my life. I might have been living in a cave for the last years, but you know what? I've still got unfulfilled words on my life. So I don't know what is going on right now. Everyone's confused, but say out loud, but. And it says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I want to encourage you, when you feel like literally life has hit you with something that you could not have seen coming, when it comes from the side, when you're literally blindsided, and suddenly you find yourself in that place of confusion, of chaos, of sadness, there is a but. Do you know what? No matter what is going on around you, you have the ability to get back up. Otherwise, God wouldn't say it. Remember what I said at the beginning. Time is short. Time is short. And so we need to make this decision. Do you know what? When the storms of life come, when things come at me from every direction, when the flood waters are rising, when the wind is beating against me, when the rain is pounding down, do you know what? It's safer to be standing when there's a flood around you. If you stay lying on the ground, you're going to get drowned under the waters. Right now, you see, God is saying that we need to be good at getting back up. Hallelujah. You know, I honestly believe that there's so many times when people have thought, you know, and this is just me sharing my story, my journey. I think many times people have thought that I was really strong, really determined, really this, that, or the other, when all that God taught me many, many years ago is just, Joe, just get back up. Just get back on your feet and just start walking forward. I thought while during the worship, I wish I'd managed to get hold of the clip. How many of you have seen Forrest Gump? Do you remember that bit in Forrest Gump when he starts a race with all his braces on his legs? Yeah? And he starts running like this. You know, there's times when we haven't even got the energy to run anymore, when we don't know where the strength is going to come from. And we're saying, but the Bible says that I need to run my race with endurance. And so we say, do you know what? I haven't got it, but God, I'm just going to start running. And sooner or later, those braces will fall off. Do you know what? How many times do you find yourself, you feel weak, you feel tired, you feel overwhelmed, and then you get back up and you think, do you know what? I haven't got it in me, but I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm just going to serve anyway. I'm just going to give anyway. I'm just going to try anyway. And before you know it, you're going, wow, it's lifted. Hallelujah. The third way that we end up flat on our face is when we're kicked down. It happens to everyone. Everyone. And I want to look at Joseph. Genesis 49, verses 22 to 25. And I'm just going to jump a bit. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Let me just put that into language we might understand. Joseph is fruitful. How many of you want to be fruitful on earth? You want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then it goes on to say, the archers bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him. But, it's that word again. Say out loud, but his bow remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God. And then in the next verse, at the very start, it says, and by the God who will help you. You see, Joseph had things coming at him. I don't know that many people have suffered like Joseph did. I mean, that man was kicked. He was stripped. He was thrown into a pit. He was human. I mean, that's what we call human trafficking today. He was sold as a slave, human trafficking, for somebody who before all he knew was love, and now he's being treated like a lump of meat. Yeah. He went through that. And then he's suddenly working as a slave in someone's home and saying, I'm going to keep my heart right. The storms of life have been blowing, but I'm going to keep my heart right. They've kicked me down, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to get back up. Every place he went, what did he do? He got back up. You think he could have stayed on his face in slavery, but he got back up. And he's trying his best. And, you know, this is my view, only my view. But I think he was very tempted by Potiphar's wife because he was really close to her. Otherwise, she couldn't have got his coat. And if she was daily trying to seduce him and he's that close. Anyway, that's my perspective. I might be wrong. Maybe I'll find out. Joseph will maybe tell me in 3,000 years' time when I'm next in the queue with questions. But he's pretty close. But he does the right thing. He's thrown into prison for a crime he never committed. He's forgotten about in prison. But everywhere he found himself, he got back up. And what does the Bible say? He was fruitful. He was fruitful. He wasn't fruitful until he came out the other side of his process. He was just a guy for about 13 years of suffering. But then out the other side of getting back up and getting back up and getting back up, guarding his heart, guarding his heart, guarding his heart, he entered into his destiny. He ran his race and he fulfilled his God-given destiny. I want to ask you to stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to end with the scripture I started with. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Right now, just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. And if you have felt that you have been leveled by anything, whether it's your own falling, whether it's the storms raging around, or whether it's being kicked down right now, if you feel like, you might say, well, I'm not actually lying down, but I'm just on my knees. Maybe you're saying, I'm sitting, but I know I'm not yet standing. Maybe you say, I've just been standing, but I'm not yet running. Right now, just have a moment with the Lord where you say, God, I'm going to get back up again and I'm going to run my race. Father, right now in Jesus' mighty name, I want to thank you that your word says that the righteous will go through afflictions, but you will deliver him out of them all. Father, I pray, Lord God, for endurance, for strength on the inside of each one of your children. And I pray, Lord God, for the determination to get back up. Every single time the enemy tries to knock you down, just make that decision right now. And if that's you, you're saying, I'm going to get back up. Just lift up both hands high in the presence of the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to be good at getting back up. You can decide that's going to be my superpower. I think as Christians, we can have superpowers. You can decide, I'm going to just do that. I'm going to get back up and run my race. Now put your hands together for the Lord Jesus.